Well, this morning we'll continue to fellowship concerning the matter of the red heifer. And I hope that our fellowship last night, going through some of the more important verses concerning the matter of death, that will impress everyone that death is a terrible defilement, worse than anything else. Right? You can lock up a sinner, but you cannot lock up a dead person. What do you do with a dead person? Why?
They're dead.
Yeah, but you can put them at home. No, because it's really a defilement. Death is horrible. Right. And of course, it is the worst thing. Look at all of God's creation is living. Right. Look at this earth. So much life. God is the God of life. But in contrary, on the other side, the devil is death. He is the power of death. He is the father of death. He only brings death. This is why he is a murderer from the very beginning. Right? Do not underestimate the matter of death. Remember, right in the very beginning, the challenge is the tree of death or the tree of life. We choose death. I don't think, we choose life. I don't think anyone would choose death. What would you prefer to be? Living or dead?
Living.
Of course, nobody wants to die. How about you, BJ? You know, people thought, if I'm dead, then that's the end of everything. They are grossly mistaken. You remember that rich man?
Yeah.
The story of rich man and Lazarus in the Gospel of Luke. What happened to him after he died? So everything is over. Oh yeah. It was just the beginning. The beginning of something horrible. Right. And with Lazarus, he was suffering all the time. But after death, there was another beginning. Beginning of comfort. Right. Resting in the bosom of Abraham. So, death, the physical death is not the end, like many people thought. But it's the beginning of more suffering. That's the real death. And between the physical death and then that suffering in Hades, there is a second death, even worse. That is the lake of fire. The second death. Oh, we read Revelation chapter 20. The second death is eternal. You're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death. That is the eternal death. Right. And the Lord warned us, the believers, that if we do not overcome and we are not mature in life and we don't care to live Christ today and to be wholly sanctified, and to be saved to the uttermost, then we will be hurt by the second death. To be hurt by the second death is not a pleasant thing. Right. Have you ever burned your fingers in fire and touched something that is hot? Huh? It is painful. It is very painful. Right. Or you ate something that is super hot in your mouth and you'll be suffering. Right. So it is not a simple thing to be hurt by the second death. It is not a pleasant thing. It is not a pleasant thing. This is why the fear of the Lord is very important. Unless you're not afraid of being hurt by the second death. Remember, our God is a consuming fire. And if we don't serve properly according to God's word as a priest, what happened to Nadab and Abihu?
They were consumed by fire.
By fire. So don't think that we can just serve God in any way we like. It is not wise to do that. They thought they are serving God. But you know, they just went through being initiated into the priestly service. God just told them what to do and what not to do. And yet, they didn't pay attention. They just did it without any permission from God. Right? This is the sin of what? Presumption. It's a very presumptuous. Oh, well, why not? It's not too bad. I'm serving God. And I'm the son of Aaron. And not this Aaron, of course. My dad is the high priest. So, right. No problem. I'll just go in and serve before the golden incense altar. And to burn incense to serve God. Good idea? No. That kind of a service will bring death to you. Will bring death to you. So we are very presumptuous. Right? Our mind, our thought, we think, okay, oh, I'm doing something good. I'm not doing something bad. Well, a lot of people thought they're doing something good, but what happened? What was the result? The result is death. I've seen that too many times. I think many of us who are older, we've gone through some experience in the past. We have seen spiritual death. So, do not be presumptuous. Remember Psalm 19, right? Preserve your servant from presumptuous sins. It's a sin. God didn't tell you to do it, but you just thought, I'll do it. What's wrong with it? I'm not doing bad things. I'm doing some good thing. I'm going to serve God. But you have to serve God, how?
Acceptably.
Acceptably, what does it mean?
That means he has to accept it. God has to accept it.
Okay, how do you know if he accepts it or not? I like to ask questions. How do I know if what I'm doing is acceptable to God? It depends. Did God tell you to do it or not? If he doesn't tell you to do it, even if it's a good thing that you're doing, it's not acceptable to him. And if God tells you to do it completely. Don't do it like King Saul. You think, oh, okay, I did part of it. Is part of it good enough?
Not for God.
Right, half truth is the biggest lie, somebody says, right? And I've seen too many people. In the beginning, it was very good. Halfway through, it wasn't good anymore. So it is better that you did good in the second half than just to do good in the first half and you don't do good in the second half. You agree with me?
Yes.
Based upon what do you agree with me?
Scripture.
What scripture?
The first son said he's going to do it, didn't do it. And the second one said he's not going to do it, but he went and regretted and did it.
That's a good verse. So what else?
Ezekiel.
Ah, good. What did Ezekiel, what did God tell Ezekiel?
If the righteous goes astray, his righteousness will be forgotten.
And
but if the unrighteous turns, the Lord will honor him.
You're right. So, what is better? To be righteous in the beginning and not at the end and thinking, well, I did enough righteousness. So now I can relax. Or you did foolishly in the very beginning and you repented, and at the very end you did righteousness before God. Which one is better?
The other one.
The second one.
It is not how we begin, but how we end.
Absolutely. So it's just like in a race. In the very beginning, wow, you did your best. You ran so fast. And you're ahead of everybody. And at the end, you ran out of gas. You slowed down. And you even just fell down and you quit. That is not good. The best is you start well and you end up even better. This is normal. Don't you like to see your team like that? Or you like to see them starting, oh, so slow and trying to catch up at the end? No. Start well and you end up better. This is why the Lord says, the first shall be the last, and the last don't just learn the doctrine, okay? Don't just learn the verse. You have to practice it. God's word is to be taken seriously. I've seen too many cases like that. And I hope that you and I will not be like that. Do well to begin with and do better to end the race. Don't slow down, but speed up. We all need to learn this. Right. The Bible has given us too many examples. What happened in the beginning? Right. They were good. Solomon was good in the beginning. Was that good enough? Well, he even built a temple. Isn't that good? So, he can rest. What happened at the very end? He was fully fallen and even did not repent. And he couldn't. Because he was bound by how many? Goodness. How can he repent? He was buried there. So be careful. We all need to be careful. Don't think, oh, a little bit, oh, just a little bit. It's okay, just... No. A little bit add up, a little bit become a bigger bit at the end. You get buried in a dunghill. So the Lord has to remind us all the time. Right. We are at the end of this age. Don't take it for granted. Don't think, oh, well, praise the Lord, we are the end. Right. And we are okay. I've seen that. People at the very end, they thought they're good enough. They thought they know enough. Even some people thought at the very end they became God. Goodness sake. At least not a big letter G, it's a small letter G. And plus an S in the very end, they become gods. You know, the small letter G with an S at the end, you know what it means. It means idols. So may the Lord have mercy on us. All these are experiences, not doctrine. We all need to learn from it. If we don't learn from it, we're going to make the same mistake. I think it was Churchill who said, what we have learned from history is that we have not learned from history. Interesting, right? That's an observation. It's not a doctrine. It's the reality. Because we don't learn from it. Learn not just from the Bible, you learn from the mistakes of others. If you don't learn from the mistakes, this is why the Bible recorded all the mistakes. The Bible didn't hide any mistakes. Beginning in chapter 1, chapter 3, right there in the very beginning, our forefathers, what happened. Don't think you're wiser than Adam and Eve. Right? When God created them, God says it was very good. Very good. You think God created some dum-dum? Yes. How about you? We are saved, born again. No more problems. That's a big mistake, to think like that. Learn from history. Right. Learn from history. So, the Bible showed us so many living examples, because the Bible is a history book. It's not a book of theology, it's not a book of doctrine. It's a book of failures, of mankind created by God, but deceived by the devil. Even Satan, he was the most beautiful, full of wisdom, more than all the other creatures created by God. He was great. He was even appointed to rule over the pre-Adamic world. You think somebody like that was to be fallen? So don't be too wise. That's what the Bible says, wise in your own conceit. You will be deceived by your own wisdom. Remember what Paul says, man's wisdom is foolishness to God. So the wiser you think you are, the more foolish you became. All the scientists are so wise, they created things that will destroy themselves. Foolish. The problem with those problems, people thought they are so wise. They know everything. They know better than God. And this will bring death. The wages, the end of all of this thing is death. And this is why it's called the second death. Right. So the end of all of this world today is death. That's why you're right, don't walk according to the course of this world. Don't appreciate your job. It's just a job. Okay. It's just to earn a living, and that's good enough. And if the Lord bless you, praise the Lord, then use the blessings of the Lord as a blessing for others. It's very important to see that. That's why the Lord told that rich young man, what did he say? Did the Lord say, sell everything and give it to me? Well, that's what the pastors will say. Right. But Paul didn't tell them to sell everything. The apostles didn't tell them to sell everything. But you are a steward. You are a steward. What is a steward? What does he do? Don't be like sheep now. You'll be ending up building your own sepulcher. You'll dig your own grave. But be like Eliakim, a very faithful steward. Do what God tells you to do. You are just entrusted with other people's possession, with God's possession. This is wisdom. But if you are covetous, you're holding it, you're using it for yourself, the end of that is death. Don't think, oh, it's all right, no. Covetousness is idolatry. And what is the end of idolatry? It's death. It is death. So we all need to see all the examples in the Bible. I think we need, I don't know how many more meetings to get into the examples of all the situations there. To show us. And then why did John tells us, do not love the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what happened if the love of the Father is not in us?
Death will come in.
It will be replaced by death. There are only two choices, right? Ultimately, you have two choices. God or the devil. Life or death. So I'm so glad this morning we were brought back to the matter of the resurrection life that overcame death. Death is the worst thing in this whole world. Nobody likes death. Now, what do you do with a dead rat? Dig a hole and bury it. So, let us go now to Numbers. All right, I'm going to put it here in my pocket. Yeah. Let's go to Numbers. And I gather you all have read Numbers chapter 19. Right? But do you know why God finally came to chapter 19 and came out with that divine revelation concerning the red heifer? Why? Because of the previous experience and history of the people of Israel. Even beginning in chapter 11, after the Lord told them and gave them all the instructions, then people began to murmur. Right? They're not happy with just eating manna. You're tired of eating manna. Are you tired of reading and eating manna? Oh yeah, I've eaten enough manna. I've gone through the Bible for so many times, I'm tired of it. Are you tired? Are you tired of eating breakfast? Tired of eating eggs? Fried eggs, tired of eating bread with cheese and jam, butter, ham, green ham and eggs, or green eggs and ham. But it's Gehüpfigesprungen, right? It doesn't matter what color it is. But they are tired of eating manna. So what do they do? Murmuring and complaining. Who never murmurs and complains? How about you and me? Oh yeah, just a little bit of that and I'm already murmuring. Why? I'm already complaining. Why? Oh, somebody didn't agree with your choice, Jesus. Why? You're already complaining, right? And me too. You disagree with me. Who are you to disagree with me? We are all complaining and murmuring. What did Paul say in Philippians again? Do all this complaining and murmuring. The more you complain, the better it is. Do all things without murmuring and complaining. Goodness, how many times did I complain? So BJ, you're not the only one.
Praise the Lord.
You know who you remind of? Me. But we're learning to complain less. Maybe not perfect yet, but praise the Lord. There are many big things that are happening, and the Lord told me, do not complain. Stop. Don't do anything. No complaining, no murmuring, because if you do, you don't trust in God. You think God doesn't know. You know better than God. If God allows it, then why do I murmur? Did the Lord ever murmur? Lord, why did you allow this? Scribes and Pharisees and chief priests and elders. Why did you appoint them? We murmur. Oh, time is already up. But it is just one example here before we go to chapter 19. What happened at the very end? God destroys them. And the end of that chapter is they were all buried there, those who murmur. And the place is named after their burying. To remind you. If you and I murmur like they murmured, we will end up in the same burial place. No? Oh, people say that's the Old Testament. Well, if Paul had enough time, he would say, these are written for your learning, that we will not do the same mistake. Murmuring and complaining, so death came in. And the next thing that happened after that, was the problem with Miriam and Aaron. Right? Chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron. Do I have another few minutes, yeah?
Yes.
Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Oh, not spoke to Moses. Spoke against Moses. Oh goodness, we like to speak against one another, don't we? Because of the Ethiopian woman, it is Zipporah. Zipporah is not an Ethiopian, although it's related to Ethiopia. But I'm not going to get into that, whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. You think it's about that? Well, it is a good excuse. Right? If you're against somebody, you'll find a good excuse, first of all, right? Because you need an excuse to be against somebody. Right? So they said, well, what has it to do with the Ethiopian woman? Verse 2, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Well, what does that have to do with the Ethiopian woman? So what is the real reason that they were against Moses? Who gave you the authority to appoint 70 elders? Why didn't you consult with me? I'm your older sister. Don't you know me? I'm Miriam. And your older brother is the high priest. So who gave you the authority? God gave him the authority. Yeah. Has he not spoken through us also? Yeah. That was the real reason, not the Ethiopian wife. Not the Median wife. Although the Median is related to the Ethiopians. Now the man Moses was very proud. No. What did he say?
Very humble. More than all men who were on the face of the earth.
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Don't you think Miriam and Aaron knew that their brother is a very, 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 very humble man? Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three. The Lord was not very humble here. This God, he was angry. Because whatever Moses did was from him. It was not from Moses. Yeah. Right. Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of clouds, etc., and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, you decide who the prophet should be. Well, they did, because they thought they're also prophets. God speaks not only through Moses, he also speaks through us. Isn't that good? So they appointed themselves to be prophets. I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. If there is any prophet among you, I will make known to him in a vision. And I speak to him in a dream. But not so with my servant Moses. My servant Moses is a very special one. He's the most humble one. He is faithful in all my house. Reminds you of Hebrews chapter 3. And Exodus, Moses was very faithful to God. Yeah. I speak with him face to face, not in a dream. Miriam, did I ever speak to you face to face? No. Even plainly, not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of God, although not head on, but the back. Are we such a person? Yeah. Right. Even plainly, not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and God departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam was anointed. Was a leprous. Death struck her. Yeah. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord." Now he called Moses my Lord. "Please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one," what?
Dead.
So now you see this kind of foolishness bring forth death. It's not that you touch death, but that you, because of your foolishness, going against God, you become leprous. You become as one who is dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses says, "Well, it's her fault."
"Please heal her, O God."
It's her foolishness. She deserved it. I hope she learned her lesson. Why did you say that? But Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Please, heal her, O God, I pray." Anyway, you can read it yourself. Then the Lord told Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, she would not be shamed 7 days. Would she not be shamed, put to shame 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp." How many days?
7 days.
Not 7 hours. 7 minutes. Oh. 7 days, it reminds you of the unclean that touches the death. 7 days. Yep. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. So that means that leprosy and that incident held the whole camp for 7 days. They couldn't move forward for 7 days. Yeah. So afterwards the people moved from Hazaroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. And then you have another incident of who? Korah. Oh, Korah. The famous Korah. Or maybe I should call him the infamous Korah. Oh, he is famous. Or is he infamous?
Infamous. It's a bad thing.
Are you sure he's not famous?
Famous for the wrong reason.
What is he famous for? Being swallowed up, the earth opened up and swallowed him up. Not only him, but his whole clan of at least 250 people. Buried alive. This is the background of the murmuring people because they want to eat flesh. Eat flesh. You're in the wilderness, where are you going to have flesh? So they want to go back to Egypt. Huh? You want to go back to Egypt, to little Egypt?
No.
No? Or just pay a visit. Oh, well, remember, you have to cross back to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea is not going to open up again for you to cross back, okay? You think the Lord will open up the Red Sea again? You have to swim back. You have to swim back. You know, if you're in the wilderness, it is God's mercy to give you the food from heaven every day. You have no lack. But you're not content with that. You want more. You want to eat meat. You want more protein. You want to build up your muscles. You want more. You are craving for the things of Egypt. That will also bring death. And if you are craving, then you will complain. And the worst thing is you murmur against God. Oh, you brought us out here to the wilderness to die. My goodness, you think God brought them out to die? No, God was going to bring them into the good land. But they all died in the wilderness. So whose fault was it? So we must learn from the history. Do not crave, craving for fleshly things. We have a craving. You know what a craving is? It's a lust. Another word for lust. Yeah. All of these are signs of death. That brought forth death. And when death comes, you can have lust for power. And so, hey, you will not confess, well, I have lust for power. You will find excuses. Ethiopian. A very good excuse. We have a lot of excuses. And this is what has been going on throughout the history of Christian history, the Christian churches. The lust of the flesh, not just for power, not just for money, but the loss of the flesh. Enough is not enough. You want more. And more is also not enough. You want much more. Huh?
It's a bottomless pit.
It's a bottomless pit. Absolutely correct. That's why it's called the bottomless pit. Because those demons, they have not enough. That's why when they were let out, oh, they became more vicious. Because of their lust. So the very fact that there's lust within us still and not dealt with, then it'll bring us to death, the end of which is death. I think that's good enough for this morning. Right. This is why the Lord brought us to Numbers chapter 19. Because it is necessary. Not only because of this evil, sinful things, but because the end of which is death. And as priests, and they're all dead, then how can they serve God? So may the Lord save us to the uttermost. And this is what it meant, to the uttermost. Yeah. Amen. Okay, let's have some prayer.